Let's take our Bible this morning and turn to the book of John. John chapter number 12 is the text for the message this morning, and I trust will be a blessing to our hearts, thinking about the verse that we've been going over week by week this month. So John chapter 12, verses 44 to 50 is the text for the message. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That's what we found in Luke chapter 19 as we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. He came to give himself for us. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. He came to bring life. We saw that in the message last week, that he came to bring life. He's the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And the gift of life to us cost him his life, but he was willing to do that. This morning we come to John chapter 12 and verse 46, the verse we've been going over, where Jesus said, I am come a light into the world. Jesus came to be a light in the world. I think one of the things that's enjoyable at this time of the year are light displays. Now, of course, they're not only on at this time of the year, and I enjoy them whenever I see them, except for people have Christmas lights on in July. It just seems to be wrong. But, you know, you go to holiday destination kind of places, and there's often light displays at any time of the year. But this time of the year, people light up their houses and their trees and their yards and with different ornaments sometimes and things like that. Since the days are shorter and the nights are longer, it's nice when people have their lights on. Even if it's just their lights at their front door. But it's nice to have light displays and things that you drive down the street and it's brighter. You know, when you come home from work at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's dark already. It's a little discouraging. But well, those lights kind of brighten things up. Of course, good news is it's going to get lighter every day from, you know, 2 days ago onward. So, you know, it'll be a little bit less that way. But, yeah, some people go overboard. Some people go crazy with their lights. And, you know, there's blow the breakers on the circuits on the street and so on. But for the most part, I think it's nice. It brings warmth. It brings a comfort. It's pleasant to see. And there are certain areas of town that you know, or in your neighborhood, where you say, well, drive down that street, because that street, there's some people that have some really nice light displays, and people drive by, and so on. We're told that decorating with lights began in the 17th century, where candles were used to decorate Christmas trees and houses. But in 1880, Thomas Edison, that name probably sounds familiar, the inventor of the light bulb, displayed lights outside his laboratory compound, and they were near some train tracks, so they got a lot of attention. A light display, something unique at that time, because aside from candles, people hadn't had the opportunity to do that. A couple of years later, Edward Johnson, one of Edison's inventors, created the first string of Christmas lights. And so that would have been in the 1880s as well, made from 80 small electric bulbs. In 1890, strings of lights were mass-produced and department stores began to display them. In stores and in public buildings, they began to be on display. And so you can see the evolution of Christmas decorating, perhaps we would say. And then, of course, as things became more affordable, the average person was able to purchase those lights and put them up and display them. It's doubtful that many people put their Christmas lights up thinking, I'm going to put lights up because Jesus is the light of the world. But, you know, as a Christian, as we look at the text that we have for us in the message this morning, it's an interesting thought, isn't it, that we celebrate the light of the world, light of Christ, coming into the world, and we have a lot of lights at this time of the year. It's actually very fitting about that. So John chapter 12, verse 44 says, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus came a light into the world. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, thank you that we can spend this time in your word today. Thank you that we have the light you've given to us physically, the sunshine. The Bible tells us that you said, let there be light, and you created lights in the firmament, the sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by night and the stars. Thank you, Lord, for those lights, and thank you for, most of all, though, the spiritual light that you've given to us through our Savior, Jesus Christ, and through your word. Lord, we thank you for these things, and we thank you for the freedom that we have to enjoy them. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us this morning as we ponder the thought of the light that came into the world, that we would realize that we can have that light also in our life, and that light will lead to life everlasting and everlasting light. And so I pray that you bless this time together and speak to us each one. You know the need of our heart today. There may be some with heavy hearts. Lord, I pray that the light of your word would be that which would lift those burdens upon them, from them, Lord, and that you would also be with those who maybe have the need of salvation. I pray that you'd help them to see the light of the gospel and be saved. And so bless us each one, I pray, and speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. I want us to think, first of all, about the promise of light. Jesus said in verses 44 and 45, he that believeth on me, believeth on not on me, but on him that sent me. He's talking about something that had happened previously in the sense that people had heard about in the past. He begins by speaking about God the Father who sent him. He speaks about believing on the Father because it was the Father who had promised the coming of the Savior. The promise of the coming of Christ was prophesied so many times over the decades and over the centuries of time. God had promised light to the world. In Isaiah 9 verse 2 it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. You say, well, what's those verses referring to? Well, according to Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 to 16, when Jesus began his earthly ministry, those scriptures were being fulfilled. That Christ came as a light into the world. He came to those who sat in the shadow of death. And he came to bring light into the world. Those prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Regardless of how dark it seemed for Israel, at different times during their history, the promise was of a brighter day. You realize that the first promise of the coming of the Messiah, the light of the world, was made on the darkest day in history. You say, what was the darkest day in history? The day that man willfully, intentionally turned from God and said, I'd rather not obey God. And sin entered into the world. That was the darkest day in the history of this world when sin entered into the world. But you know, on that day, God promised a deliverer. He gave a promise of a light that would come, a light to lighten the world. A light of salvation in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It's sometimes called a very fancy word, the proto-evangelium. But the promise of the coming of Christ into the world to bruise Satan's head, to destroy Satan. And Jesus came in the form of man to destroy the devil. That was a promise. It was made light in the darkness of the day. Can you imagine how dark of a day it must have felt for Adam and Eve to realize that their fellowship was broken between them and God? The joy that they'd enjoyed in the Garden of Eden was done. It was no longer a joyful day. There was a heaviness about the air. There was a fear in their hearts. But God said, there will be light come. I promise the deliverer will come. You know, God never forgot his promise to mankind, specifically through Israel and to Israel, but he reaffirmed it many times through different prophets, and he said there is coming light into the world. There will be one who will bring light. There will be one who will bring salvation. And when Jesus Christ came, those promises were fulfilled. Jesus came, a light into the world. It's a great reminder, is it not, that God never forgets his promises? Oh, thousands of years may go by, but he's not forgotten his promise. His word will be fulfilled. You can take his promises to the bank and you can depend upon them. The prophecies of light were sure, but the prominence of darkness was definitely found in Israel and in the world. Israel knew what it was to live in darkness. Their history is full of dark times. Think of the times such as when Haman had underhandedly deceived the king into having all the Jews destroyed. Dark days. But God brought deliverance. God brought light into those times. And Israel's history was full of darkness, being carried into captivity and all those different things. But God was always with them. You know, darkness is representative of numerous things. And we've talked about a couple of these things in the past few weeks as we thought about Christ being the light this month. But think about the fact that ignorance is signified by darkness. You know, the statement is, oh, they're in the dark. They don't know. They're ignorant of the facts. They're in the dark. We use that statement of people not knowing something, unaware of what's going on. You realize that ignorance may be of our own making. Sometimes we are willingly ignorant because we choose not to know. The ostrich syndrome. We bury our head in the sand. But it may also be a result of circumstances beyond our control. Sometimes we haven't been told about something, so we're ignorant of those facts. We don't know, but we're in darkness as to those facts. In 2 Peter 3:5, it speaks of those who are willingly ignorant about the fact of creation, about that God is a creator and the fact that He is a God of His Word and He's coming again. Somebody said that willingly ignorant means dumb on purpose. Sometimes that's the way we are. We're willingly ignorant. It's a sad place to be, isn't it? To be willingly ignorant of the truth of God's Word. But some need to be have the Word explained to them. Remember in Acts chapter 8 where Philip was sent to the Ethiopian man? He wanted to know God. He was reading the Scriptures. But he didn't understand. He was in darkness in his mind and his heart. Then Philip said, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? And Philip jumped into the chariot and opened unto him the Scriptures and explained that he was speaking about Christ in Isaiah chapter 53. Philip was there to enlighten him. Ignorance is not a good thing. It has tragic consequences. Proverbs 4:19 says that the people stumble, the wicked stumble because they're in darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 said God's people were destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. They were ignorant. They were in darkness and they were destroyed for lack of knowledge. Many stumble and are headed for destruction today because they are in the dark spiritually. They don't know either because they choose not to believe it, or they have never been told that Jesus Christ is the way. Colossians 2:3 says that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge is in Christ. He's the light of the world. But there's also the darkness of sin. We speak about the dark side of people, don't we? Oh, their dark side. What are we saying? We're politely saying the things that they do bad, the things that they do wrong. Sin is spoken of as being darkness. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are in darkness by birth. We're spiritually dead, the Bible tells us. We're spiritually not alive. We're spiritually dark. But sadly, some remain in that position because they would rather not come to the light. Because they say, well, the light will tell me I'm wrong, and I don't want to be told that I'm wrong. And Jesus said that this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. In John chapter 3. Isn't it a sad thing that those verses right after John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And just two short verses later, Jesus is saying, but people don't want to believe that. Because they don't want to come to the light. They don't want to be reproved, admit that they are wrong. But Jesus came to deliver us from the darkness of sin. But the prominence of darkness is not only seen in ignorance and sinfulness, but also in lack of hope. When things seem hopeless, what do people say? The days were dark. There's a darkness because we feel like there's no end. to the suffering. There's no end to the difficulty. There's no end. And we say this, it's a dark time in their life, a discouraging time, a time where it feels like there's no hope. You know, hope is a wonderful thing. But to be without hope is a terrible place to be. The Bible says that when Paul was on the ship and he was a prisoner being taken, and they got into a great storm, and the storm was so immense that even the sailors, seasoned sailors, they said, there's no hope. All hope that we should be saved was gone. What a desperate place to be, where it feels like there's no hope, no way out, no end to the trouble, no end to the struggle, just it's a dead-end life. No hope is darkness. People stopped eating on the ship because they expected the worst. They said, what's the point? It's hopeless. Of course, God stood by Paul and said, don't worry, the ship's going to be destroyed and no hope for the boat, but all the people will be saved. That's the difference that God makes in a situation. You know, the ignorance of God's word and the dominance of sin may cause us to despair, but there's light. His name is Jesus. How refreshing it must have been to Israel to know that as dark as things were from time to time, God said, there is a day of light coming. There's light. The light will come. The people that sat in darkness shall see great light. Those promises were sure. We may feel like we live in dark days, and morally speaking, I believe that our country is becoming darker and darker, but we also have light in Jesus Christ, in this word. We have the light of the gospel. We have the light of Christ, the promise of light, if we will avail ourselves of it. Sadly, some are aware of the light in the word of God. It talks about Christ, but they willfully live on in darkness still today. But thank God for His promise of light. But realize that there came to be the presence of light in the world. It wasn't just the promise. Light was promised to Israel, but when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, the light came. Oh, not the light of the star. That directed people to the true light. The presence of the light. Jesus said, I am come, a light into the world. In Isaiah 60 verse 1 it says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Realize that Jesus is the light. Simeon said when he prophesied and spoke of Jesus in the temple and lifted Jesus up, he said that Jesus was a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The light came into the world. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. In John chapter 1, verse 5 to 9, it speaks about John the Baptist, and it says, he was sent to bear witness of the light. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. This was the true light that lighteth every man. Jesus came into the world. He was promised to come, and He came. Jesus, when He was present in the world, said this, I am the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. John 9, verse 5, He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The presence of light was there in Israel. Some 2,000 years ago, for 33 years, Jesus walked this earth, and He was the light of the earth. The light of the world. He was the wisdom of the world. Oh, how many times did they try to come to Him, and they tried to trip Him up, and they tried to get Him to say something that would entrap Him. But in His great wisdom, He knew their hearts, and He knew their thoughts, and He answered their question, and left them dumbfounded, so that they walked away scratching their heads, saying, never man spake like this man. Even when He was 12 years old in the temple, and He was debating with the doctors, and they were baffled. They couldn't understand how this young lad could know so much. But Jesus, the light of the world, was full of wisdom, because He is wisdom. And He said that those who heard His sayings and would apply them were likened to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. He was wise. He was righteous. He was the spotless Lamb of God. 1 Peter 2:22 and 23 says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. 1 John 1:5 says, in him is no darkness at all. Not one shade of darkness. No darkness at all. What's he speaking about? His moral character. Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God. He was declared to be righteous by Judas, the one who betrayed him. Said, I have sinned and I have betrayed the innocent blood, the only innocent one, the only true one. I've sinned and I've betrayed him. Pilate said more than once, I find no fault in him. There's nothing wrong. I can't really judge him because there's nothing. He hasn't done anything wrong. And the only reason Pilate crucified Jesus Christ, humanly speaking, was because he just wanted to appease the Jews. His very wife says, have thou nothing to do with this righteous man. Don't do it, Pilate. The thieves, one of them who was beside him, came to the conclusion and realized Jesus was righteous. He said, we're here because we deserve it. He doesn't. Jesus was perfect, the righteous one, sinless. And he is hope for the world. He is light in that he is wisdom. He is light in that he is righteous. He was light in that he was the hope for the world. When he entered the world, he brought hope, the hope that God had not forgotten his promise. The people that walked in darkness have seen great light. The hope is here. Jesus has arrived. That God's promises are true. The hope that deliverance was available. The hope for the downcast, the average person, the sinner like you and I. Jesus came to bring light and hope to everyone. Jesus is the light. He brought hope to the hopeless. He is the light of wisdom, the light of righteousness, and the light of hope in a sinful world. But Jesus is not only the light, but he gives light. He offers light to those who will receive it. He came to bring light that would last after he had ascended back to heaven. He was very clear that he would not remain on the earth indefinitely. He had come for a purpose. Look what it says in verses 35 and 36. We didn't read them previously. John 12, verse 35 says, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. While you have it, Jesus said, I'm not going to be here physically for very long. It's just a short while. But while I am here, believe in me, and then you can become children of the light. You'll have the light with you when I'm gone, because I will give you that light. He was telling them to recognize him for who he was and to believe in him so that when he was no longer in the world, they would still have his light within them. They have the opportunity to become children of light. People who had wisdom. People whose lives were made righteous through him. People who had ongoing hope, no matter if the world continued to get dark. Those who believe in Christ are not to carry on in darkness, but to live in the light. Did you see what it says in our text that we've been reading week by week this month? I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. What's Jesus saying? You can have the light of life within yourself, that I will give it to you. You don't need to live in darkness. You can carry on in light. You don't need to abide or live, continue in darkness. But you can have light in your life. Why are many Christians ignorant or in the dark spiritually when Jesus said you should not abide in darkness, but have the light of life? Is it because we fail to read and apply the Word of God in our life? I believe it is. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. But what do? We spend a few moments, maybe at best, in the Word of God daily. hopefully, but then we go our way and we may watch TV for 2 or 3 or 4 hours, or we may play computer games or look on the internet, do all these things. But what about the light of Scripture? See, I don't know what God says. Well, why not? He's told us. If we'll take the time to read it, if we'll take the time to apply it, we have access to knowledge and understanding. Why are so many Christians living in the darkness of sin when the Bible says that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness? But yet, why are so many Christians living in darkness, the darkness of sin? We're not walking in the light. That is the problem. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we're not walking in the light, there's a problem. Jesus said, I am come. And He said, I want to give you my light. You have the opportunity to have it in your life. Christian, why aren't we living in the light? Walking in the light? The songwriter said, no more I'll wander in the dreadful night of sin and shame. I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the light. Cleanse me from my darkness. And so on. We need to walk in the light of the Word of God. Walk in fellowship with Him. God says we are to put off concerning the old conversation, the old life, the old manner of life. Put it off. Jesus said you should not abide. Those who believe in me should not abide in darkness. Put that darkness off. Put on the new man in Christ. In other words, quit doing bad things, wrong things, like you used to do, and start doing what's right, like Jesus gave you the power and the ability to do. Walk in the light. Live in the light. Ephesians 4 says, let him that stole steal no more. It's a decision. Hey, I'm a Christian now. I shouldn't live in darkness now. Put off concerning the former conversation. He says, lie not one to another. That's a command. Don't lie one to another. You're a Christian now. God's changed you. Don't lie. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. These are things that he says, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to choose to do. Put off the old and put on the new. In Christ, walk in the light. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. Allow it to shine. Say, how do we do that? Well, Jesus gave us the answer, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They see your changed life and they see there's light there. There's a difference there. Why are Christians despondent and lacking in hope when Jesus is the hope of the world? Why do people live under a dark cloud and they walk around like, I don't know which character it was on Charlie Brown. Remember the one that always walked around? There was a cloud always on him. Why is it we live that way? As Christians, Jesus said, whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. You have the light of Christ in your life. You have hope in the world. Oh, I know we have struggles in our life. I know we have difficulties. We're none of us immune to those things. We face things in our life and we say, this is so heavy. How can I have joy? How can I have peace? How can I have hope when things seem so dark? You can have hope because Jesus Christ is the light and He gave you that light and He said, you can trust me. And you can read the back of the book and you can say, listen, the struggles of this world seem intense for right now, but one day I'm going to be with the Lord and He's going to help me through this time. And He says, right now His grace is sufficient for me and His strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I can have light because Jesus came to bring light into a dark world. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Psalm 42, verse 5, and also verse 11, I believe, in chapter 43 as well. The psalmist said, listen, why am I discouraged? Why? I shouldn't be, because I have Christ. I have the hope of God in my life. Those trials that God allows in your life are not meant to destroy you, but to strengthen you. God has a plan, and He says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's light, isn't it? See, I don't know what I'm going to do. This struggle is difficult. But God says, don't worry. I won't give you more than you can handle. And I'm here to help you through it. And I have a purpose in it that will help you. It says, those who are struck, cast down, and having difficulty, he says, remember, you're going through this so that you can then comfort others when you make it through. There's hope, believer. There's hope in the Lord. Have you not read the back of the book? We win. God is righteous. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. He came to bring peace on the earth. He came to bring the light of wisdom, righteousness, and hope. He not only was light, but he came to give light to you and to me and to the world. What a wonderful thing it is to think about light. But in this last part of the scripture, he also speaks about the place of light. You see, I don't see that in there. Well, you can see what he says. He talks about judgment. That doesn't sound very light. But he also talks about eternal life and the promise of eternal life. And he speaks about the difference between facing God's judgment or enjoying eternal life. And he says, it's about what you do with my words. He says, some are going to reject my words. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus said, I've came, my words are life. My words are light. But if you don't receive them, if you reject them, then don't expect the light when you stand before the judgment. His purpose in coming is to save. His purpose in coming was to bring salvation. But that salvation is incumbent upon you and I saying, yes, I believe what he said. I will receive his salvation. We've said it before, but it bears repeating again, especially this time of the year when gifts are given. Somebody can go to the store and they can buy you a gift, and they can have your very greatest needs in mind when they purchase you something. They can wrap it up and they can put your name on it, and they can put a beautiful bow and wrap it so well, and they can give it to you. But if you don't take it and receive it, it does you no good. And Jesus came and he said, I am come to bring light and I have offered you light. And all you need to do to have that light is believe in me and believe in him that sent me. But if you don't believe it, you're not going to be benefited by it. You must believe. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly, he fulfilled the prophecies of the scriptures. He said, I am God in the flesh in different places and different circumstances. He said, I am the Son of God. When they said, do you say that you're the Son of God? He said, you said it. That's right, I am. But they had to believe it. They had to receive it. They had an opportunity to whether to believe it or reject it. They had a time frame, didn't they, to whether they would believe and receive it or receive it. Jesus said, yet a little while I am with you. Then I won't be with you anymore. He said, you have a time while you have light, believe in the light that you may be children of light. While you have the light, while you have the opportunity. Say, when is that opportunity? How long is that opportunity? We don't know, do we? You know what we have? We have right now. We have today to believe in the light. We don't know that we have tomorrow. We can't go back to yesterday, but we have today. Jesus said, you have an opportunity to believe in the light, and you don't know how long you're going to have that opportunity. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. To believe is to be saved, but to reject will be to have those words used against us in the judgment. Can you imagine standing before God, and God says, depart from me. And you say, but I didn't have an opportunity. And the Lord says, yes, remember? Remember December 24th, 2017, when the preacher said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you say, well, maybe I'll think about that, but maybe not. He He's told us how to be saved, and he says what will happen if we don't at the judgment. This, the Bible says the books will be opened. What books? Well, the book, the Word of God, obviously is going to be there, because Jesus said we're going to be judged by His Word. But the book of our life and our deeds and the opportunities that we had, and I'm sure that when we look back, we can see in our life that there were many opportunities before we trusted Christ that we had. And if you're not yet saved, I'm sure you can look back and you can see that there's been opportunities in the past that you've had to believe on the Lord. And today is another one of those opportunities. And that book, those books will be opened, those opportunities that were had. What did you do with them? Have you received the words of Jesus Christ? Have you believed in Him as the light? You see, because if you believe in Him as the light, you become a child of light, he said in verse number 36. And then chapter 12, as we read in verse 50, it says, I know that His commandment, the Father's commandment, is life everlasting. What's the Father's commandment? Believe in My Son. Believe. Life everlasting. What's life everlasting? Eternal life. What a wonderful thing. Eternal life. Life for eternity. That's a wonderful thing to think about. But you know, the Bible says that the place where we will have eternal life will be a place of eternal light. There's no darkness there. No need of the sun or the moon, because the Lamb is the light thereof. It's a city of light. The streets made of gold reflect the light of God. A place of where we'll know as we are known, and we'll have greater wisdom, won't we? The light of knowledge. We'll have the light of righteousness, because there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth or maketh a lie. Nothing will enter in those gates of pearl to defile that place. And a place filled with eternal hope. Never a day where there's no hope. Every day the Lamb is there. We see the light of the Lamb every day. Hope, joy, peace, no pain, no suffering. What a wonderful place it will be. That is where the children of light go, to the city of light. Is that where you're headed? I hope so. It can be. If you're not sure, Jesus says, while you have light, that's now, while you have today, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. It's a wonderful thing to look forward to, that city of light. This year, again, we see displays of lights. May they be a reminder to us that Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in Me should not abide in darkness. What a wonderful promise. God promised light. Jesus came and He was that light. One day all who believe in Him will go to a place where there is no darkness. It will be eternal light. Jesus is the light. He came to not only be the light, but to bring light. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you believed in Him as the light that He is? Christian, are you walking in the light? Are you spending time in the Word of God so you know more about the light, the Lord? Growing in wisdom, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Learn more. Walk in the light. Righteousness. Are you living right? So I know I'm saved, but I haven't been doing what I know I should do. God says, walk in the light. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Say, Lord, I know I haven't been walking in the light like I should. I haven't been doing the right thing, but now I want to. Lord, forgive me. He will. He says, walk in the light. Hope. Are you walking in the light of hope? You say, but things are discouraging. Life is hard. Yeah, it is at times very hard. But He gives hope. He says, My grace is sufficient. He says, I am with you where you go. And you can look forward to that day where it will no longer be dark. look forward to the hope of eternity. And a Christian, listen, it's our responsibility to be the light. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he said, ye are the light of the world. Are we light? Are we light to others when the darkness of their life seems to crowd in? Are we there to lighten their path, to tell them about Christ, who is the light? Jesus came to bring light. Let's pray together.